This is The Record. I'm Marcy Silman. 20 years ago, Russia decriminalized homosexuality, but earlier this summer, the government amended child protection laws to insert a statement that outlaws what the government calls propagandizing non-traditional sexual relations among minors. Authorities have been interpreting that language pretty broadly. As a result, people have seen it as promoting gay values. Some of those people have been arrested, subject to violence from police or other Russian citizens. Elizabeth Wood is a professor of history at MIT. She says the law essentially gives people the green light to legally attack gay men and lesbians.
The problem is, of course, that as soon as they put in this kind of law, it can be used by any thugs, any hooligans, to go after gays and lesbians. So it's a classic case of picking the marginal group, stigmatizing them, and then it's open fire by conservatives, some of whom are egged on by authorities and or the authorities simply fail to step in any way. The police stand by when demonstrators are pelted with eggs or severely beaten up.
We've had a lot of opposition to what's going on in Russia here in Seattle. Among those is the Strangers' Dan Savage. He's one of the organizers of a demonstration that's going to take place this afternoon in front of the Russian consulate's Madison Park House. Dan Savage joins me in the studio along with the demonstration co-organizer, Matt Fixiever-Kirk. Thanks, both of you, for coming in. First of all, what exactly is going to happen this afternoon?
We're going to hold signs, we're going to chant, we're going to scream and yell, we're going to create some visuals and optics that attract media attention and that get people talking about what's going on in Russia. That's the whole point of a demonstration like that, is that the cameras come and the reporters come and they say, why are you here? And you explain it, and then they have to explain to their readers and viewers why people are upset enough to gather outside this building and scream and yell, hold signs.
All throughout the summer, we've also seen boycotts of Russian vodka, among other things. And Matt, is there still a Russian vodka boycott going on?
There's a boycott on a number of Russian products, including vodkas and other things, organized by gay groups from cities all across the country, San Francisco, Seattle, Chicago.
What about the 2014 Winter Olympics, which are scheduled for Sochi, Russia? A lot of folks who are upset about what's going on in Russia right now would like to see us boycott those games.
There's a really important article in Salon that just went up today called Move the Olympics Now. There have been calls to move the Olympics back to Vancouver, British Columbia, calls to boycott the Olympics. I don't think realistically that the Olympics will be boycotted or canceled or moved, but the calls for boycotting the Olympics are important because then you have to have a conversation about why some people are so upset about what's going on in Russia that they are making these calls. I don't think the people calling for the move are disingenuous in any way, but just the debate and the controversy is important. I think the athletes are going to ultimately go, all of them. What I think, and this is a good idea that's recently been floated, is no one else should go, that we shouldn't attend the Olympics en masse, that dignitaries shouldn't go. It shouldn't hand Putin and the Russian government the PR victory that often Olympics is to have the elites hobnobbing around elites from other countries, that they should have an Olympics and the stadiums should be empty of foreign guests and visitors.
Now, Matt, the Russian government doesn't really seem to care what the rest of the world thinks about its internal policies. So what do you hope to affect with the demonstration?
Well, a number of things specifically. Demonstrations like this are happening in 33 cities and 21 countries today, all synchronized to draw attention to the issue, but also to motivate the leaders who are going to meet with Putin at the G20 summit starting tomorrow to raise the issue, like President Obama has said he will do.
And Prime Minister David Cameron in Great Britain has said he's going to raise this issue with Vladimir Putin. That was the point of these demos, and it's working. Our leaders are responding to our demonstrations here and taking it right to Putin and Putin's face in Moscow. So the demonstrations have already been a success.
Go ahead, Matt.
And we also hear from people, from activists in Russia, that the fact that the world is taking attention to this issue means an incredible amount for the people in Russia as well, because thanks to social media, they see that happening in a way that they may not have in the past.
Social media had been being used to broadcast the beatings and violations and violence being perpetrated against gay people. Gay teenagers are being kidnapped. Gay teenagers are being lured using social media and gay dating websites to meetings where then they are beaten, violated, and those videos have been uploaded by the hundreds. And now social media is being used to shame Russian officials into acting, and the Russian activists that are in contact with us are telling, in contact with the world, are saying it's making them safer on the ground in Russia, the outcry in the West.
We're talking with Dan Savage and Matt Fixiever-Kirk, sorry, Matt, for butchering your name there. And they are co-organizers of a demonstration, a real live demonstration with people. How are you incorporating social media into what you're doing today, if at all?
Well, we're all over Twitter, we're all over Facebook, we're all over Instagram. The demonstration will be all over Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram as well, as the demonstrations all over the world have been in all the 33 cities.
And there's a hashtag, #RussiaForLove is the hashtag. You can see the demonstrations happening all around the world. It's also important to note that it's this connection between digital activism and analog activism, going from clicking and tweeting to actually putting bodies out in front of cameras at physical locations.
Is this a one-off demonstration, or are you actually going to do something again with real live bodies, an analog demonstration, if you will?
There will be more analog demonstrations. We're in this for the long haul. This is going to be an apartheid-like struggle to protect this minority group, to speak out for people who aren't in a position to speak out for themselves. What's important to remember is what the law effectively has done in Russia is make it illegal to be out, make it illegal to say that you oppose the law, make it illegal not just for gay people and lesbian and bi and trans people to be out, but illegal for straight people to say that they oppose the law or support their gay, lesbian, bi or trans friends, neighbors, children. This is classic totalitarian fascism-style moves, to persecute a minority group, to distract the populace from the economy or their political powerlessness in other realms. And we're in it for the long haul, and there will be many more demos.
Strangers Dan Savage and Matt Vixie-Verkirk are co-organizers of a real people demonstration that's taking place in front of the Russian consulate's Madison Valley House this afternoon at 4:30. By the way, Seattle's one of only five U.S. cities that even have Russian consulates.
We contacted Seattle's Russian consulate for comment on the protest. They did not agree to be interviewed, but the Consul General Andrei Yushmanov sent us an email saying the protests are misleading and that Russia is not intolerant of its LGBT community.